Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. This is reading of God's Word. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, so that no wind would blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. From the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. From the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is the only thing that clearly shows us your Son and what he has done. It is the only thing that clearly shows our eternal reality, our spiritual reality, our heavenly reality. Oh Father, give us an ear to hear, give us an eye to see, and let us see the marvelous things that you have accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord for us. And let us rejoice, give you all the glory. Oh Father, cause us as we hear your word to be more and more like your Son. Bless your people and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We begin chapter 7 today. Chapter 6, as we have seen already, that chapter deals with the first six seals. And we will see in chapter 8 the breaking of the seventh seal, followed immediately by the blowing of the seven trumpets. Now in between the sixth and the seventh seal, we have chapter 7. And we will see a similar thing when we look at the seven trumpets. The end of the ninth chapter will deal with the sixth trumpet, and we will not see the seventh trumpet until chapter 11, verse 15. So again there, in between the sixth and seventh trumpets, we have chapter 10 and chapter 11, verse 1 through 14. So, in between sixth seal and seventh seal, there's chapter 7. And in between sixth and seventh trumpets, we have chapter 10 and chapter 11, verse 1 through 14. These sections in between sixth and seventh seals or trumpets, we will call them interludes. So, the first interlude is chapter 7, which we're looking at. Chapter 7 is interjected in between the sixth and seventh seal to give us more information so that we may understand the whole seven seals better. We saw in the first six seals, our Lord Jesus Christ is the victorious King, the glorious King. He is now resurrected from the dead, and He sits on the throne of God and rules the whole universe. And as such King, He judges the sinful world. And we read in chapter 6, verse 17, "For the great day of their," meaning He who sits on the throne, God and the Lamb, "their wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" So we saw at the end of chapter 6, the sixth seal, the final judgment of God. And the question was asked there, who is able to stand? The answer to that question is given in our chapter, chapter 7. While our Lord judges the world, the question is, what happens to His people? We learn that as soon as He was resurrected from the dead, after 40 days, He ascended into heaven. He sits on the right hand. Now He governs. He rules. And He governs and rules with two things: blessing or saving His people, but at the same time, judging the sinful world. So we saw what is happening to the world, His judgment. But the question is then, during this judging the world, what happens to God's people? The answer to that question, is found in our chapter. In our chapter, we see two major sections, verse 1 through 8, which will show us what happens before the breaking of the first seal. And verse 9 through 17 will show us what happens at the end of all things. But remember that we see these two sections, what we see in these two sections is also our present spiritual heavenly reality. We will look at the first eight verses today. Verse 1. After this, after the sixth seal, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, so that no wind would blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. Now, verse 1 starts with a phrase, after this. Now, this does not mean that what follows happens after the chapter 6 in terms of time. We looked at already the concept of recapitulation, so I'm not going to go in there. So just because you read it after something doesn't mean in terms of time that it happens after the event that you see before. Four angels here. They are standing at the four corners of the earth. And what are they doing? They are holding back the four winds of the earth so that no wind will blow. Now, what are we looking at here? Well, we got some help from Zechariah chapter 6 when we looked at the first four seals. And let us go there once again for help. Zechariah chapter 6. What are we looking at here? Four angels standing at four corners of the earth. They are holding back four winds of the earth so that no wind will blow. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 1. Now I lifted up my eyes again and looked, and behold, four chariots were coming forth from between the two mountains, and the mountains were bronze mountains. With the first chariot were red horses, with the second chariot black horses, with the third chariot white horses, and with the fourth chariot strong dappled horses. Then I spoke and said to the angel who was speaking with me, "What are these, my Lord?" The angel replied to me, "These are the four spirits of heaven, going forth after standing before the Lord of all the earth, with one of which the black horses are going forth to the north country, and the white ones go forth after them, while the dappled ones go forth to the south country. When the strong ones went out, they were eager to go to patrol the earth." And he said, "Go patrol the earth." So they patrolled the earth. Then he cried out to me and spoke to me, saying, "See, those who are going to the land of north have appeased my wrath in the land of north." So we saw these horses. Now here is chariots. First four seals in Book of Revelation, chapter 6, we saw horses. And there we conclude that these horses are agents of God bringing God's judgment to the world. And same thing is seen in Zechariah 6. These horses are going. So in Zechariah 6, Zechariah asks, what are these? And the answer that was given is, these are the four spirits of heaven. Four spirits of heaven. Now here in our passage, chapter 7 of Revelation, we have four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. And what are they doing? They're holding back the four winds of the earth. Four spirits. And here four winds. What are we looking at? In Genesis chapter 1, some of you have already learned with me that in Hebrew, the word wind and the word spirit are the same word. Right? You remember in Genesis 1, verse 2, the Spirit of God is hovering over. Now there the word is ruha, right? Wind. So, four spirits and four winds. Now, those four groups of horses are expressed as the four spirits of heaven. Thus, here in our chapter, four winds of the earth are the four horses and the riders of the first four seals in chapter 6 of Revelation. They're holding back. You remember these four groups of horses? They're going out. And what was the picture as these horses go out? Judgment is pouring out. But what do we see here is before they go out, these four angels are holding them so that they will not be able to go out yet. So the four winds of the earth are the four horses and the riders of the first four seals in chapter 6 of Revelation. The four angels are holding back so that no wind, the horses, they are the four spirits or they are the four winds, so that no wind would blow, so that no judgment will be poured out yet. It says that no wind would blow on the earth or on the sea or any tree, on any tree. The four angels are described in verse 2 as to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea. So what you're looking at is that four angels are holding back these four winds or four spirits or four horses. But they're about to let it go. as soon as they let go, then the judgment will come. So, what we are seeing here is, in terms of time, the time before the first seal is broken. Before the first horse and the first rider were sent out. Before the judgment has begun. Four winds of the earth. Description of the judgment of God. Isaiah 66 verse 15. For behold, the Lord will come in fire and his chariots like the whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. But in verse 1, four angels are holding back the four winds of the earth so that no wind would blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. Now, right at that moment, verse 2 and 3, and I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun. We see another angel ascending, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads. Now, verse 1, you get the picture, what's going on. Now these four angels are holding back these four horses. But John sees something else. He sees another angel ascending from the rising of the sun. Now, who is this person or this angel? Well, we know from verse 2 that he has the seal of the living God. He has the seal of the living God. And he commands the other angels, which shows that he has more authority than these four angels that you see. Do you remember during the third seal, we heard a voice from the throne, a voice of our Lord Jesus Christ, do not damage the oil and the wine, do not harm the oil and the wine. Here, do not harm the earth or the sea or the tree. And he is ascending from the rising of the sun. Now this phrase, rising of the sun, we see in the Old Testament. Let's go to Malachi. And you should know where that is. Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4 verse 1 and verse 2. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff, and the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. Now, it's talking about that day that Messiah will come. Verse 2, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. The Son of Righteousness will rise. This Son is the Messiah. And also in Revelation chapter 10, let me read verse 1 through 3 there. I saw another strong angel. Now here we're looking at another angel, and here same thing. There's another angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. So here again, another angel, but related to sun. Verse 2, and he had in his hand a little book which was open. He placed his right foot on the sea and his left foot left on the land. And he cried out with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he had cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. And there, this another angel that is connected to sun is clearly Lord Jesus Christ. There we have no problem saying that this angel in chapter 10 is Lord Jesus Christ. So we conclude that the other angel in our passage is also our Lord Jesus Christ. So what are we looking at? This is right before the judgment of God begins. He said, until the bond servants of God are sealed on their foreheads. So the first, the sealing, then the judgment of God begins. Remember, the whole church age is God's judgment beginning. And the final judgment will come at the end of church age. But that is God governing. That is God ruling. He rules, he governs with two things. Salvation and judgment. That's all he does. I mean, you could put whatever that he's doing into two categories. Salvation and judgment. So yes, church age begins and salvation begins through the church. Gospel is preached and his people are gathered. But at the same time, the judgment begins, judgment of this world. And we saw all that from chapter 6. Now then, what are we looking at in chapter 7? Our Lord Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead and he ascends to heaven. And he sits on the throne as the victorious king begins the breaking of the seals. Thus, his judgment begins. So we have this phrase, ascending from the rising of the sun. This is the same thing that we saw in Revelation chapter 5, verse 5 through 7. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders, a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. So we saw that when we look at that passage, what are we looking at? Is Jesus resurrecting from the dead and he ascends into heaven. And now he sits and he takes that book so that his rule, his reign as the victorious king begins. He rules all things now. He judges the world. But before that judgment, before all is to begin, he seals his people with the seal of the living God. Now this sealing, what is God doing by it? Well, let me just give you the conclusion. Then we will look at more in detail. Sealing, and we saw this a little bit in Ephesians chapter 1 when we studied Ephesians. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. So before the judgment of the world begins, he sends his Spirit and he seals his people. And if you read the Bible, that's exactly how the church age begins. Acts chapter 2, the sealing of his people, the Holy Spirit comes. So you see in our verse, Jesus Christ ascending, meaning that he's resurrected from the dead, and he comes as the victorious king, and he's gonna start rule. But right before that, before anything that will happen, first thing he does, he sends his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what we see if you read the rest of the Bible. The sealing. Then the question is, then, what does that mean that he seals you? What is God doing as he seals you? Or what is God doing as he sends his Spirit to his people? And remember, before the judgment begins, all his people are given the Holy Spirit. The sealing happens, then the judgment. Now, the sealing, let's understand the concept of this. What is the purpose of sealing? Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel chapter 9. Now here, in our book of Revelation, sealing on their forehead. Now that's symbolical language. And we've talked about what that means, sealing on the forehead. But here, similar thing happens, and here we learn the purpose of sealing. Chapter 9, verse 1. Then he cried out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, draw near, O executioners of the city, each with his destroying weapon in his hand. So God's judgment is being poured out here too. Behold, six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his shattering weapon in his hand. And among them was a certain man clothed in linen with writing case at his loins. And they were in and stood beside the bronze altar. Then the glory of the God of Israel went up from the cherub on which it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed in linen at whose loins was the writing case. The Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations which are being committed in his midst. But to the others he said in my hearing, go through the city after him and strike. Do not let your eyes have pity and do not spare. Utterly slay old men, young men, maidens, little children and women, but do not touch any man on whom is the mark, and you shall starve from my sanctuary. So they started with the elders who were before the temple. So what do we see there? We see God's judgment coming. But before that happened, there's a guy with a marking device, and God tells him to go and mark on their people's forehead, those that God has elected. And he commands others to go and just destroy. Destroy unless they have the mark, the sealing. So, it's God's protection. God is protecting his people. We saw this similar things in Exodus chapter 12, verse 23. Exodus chapter 12 is about what? Passover. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And here we see same thing. God's judgment is coming. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. Same kind of thing. Now it's a house. Every house that has a mark, the judgment will pass over. Same kind of thing. Revelation chapter 9 verse 4 says, they were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their forehead. So the judgment will come, but before the judgment comes, the marking of God's people. Why? So that they will not receive the judgment. We told you that judgment of the world is salvation for His people. So even though in physical eyes, through physical eyes you see it, same thing happens to both Christians and non-Christians. You know, earthquake comes, but it's both Christians and non-Christians, we go through it. But for one, it is judgment, but for the other, it's not a judgment. So you see what is going on then. Chapter 7 explains in more detail what's going on during this judgment time. But now the focus is about God's people rather than the world that is being judged. So what happens before the judgment? Sealing of God's people. Revelation 13. Now so many people, they're so fascinated by this chapter 13 because they see 666 in that. Let's go there, chapter 13, and we'll get to that chapter a little bit later. But let's read from verse 16. And He causes all, the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free men and the slave, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. Now, those of you who studied the Armageddon with us, we saw how Satan does things. He's always mimicking God. From the very beginning, that's all he does. He's mimicking God, but always in a false way. So here, same thing. See, God seals God's people on their forehead. Symbolical language, it means God sending His Holy Spirit and writing His name on their forehead. But here we see Satan doing the same thing. Well, not the same thing, but he's mimicking God. But Satan is never the original. So it's no big deal. He's just, you know, so many people make this thing so big deal. But all he's doing is just same thing as what we see him doing throughout the whole Bible, just mimicking God. Anyway, 17, and he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is of that of a man, and his number is 666. It's the number of a man. Now, what happens here? The purpose of marking is different. Now, God's marking, the purpose was to protect God's people from the judgment that He's about to pour out to the world. But here, marking is what? For what? Unless you have this mark, you're not going to be in a language that is a book of Revelation. You're not going to be success in this world. You're not going to be able to sell and buy. You will see later in the book of Revelation, the whole world is described as Babylon, and Babylon as a business. It's all about money, buying and selling. So when God destroys Babylon, you see these people who belong to the world, they're crying Why? Because they can't sell, they can't buy anymore, they cannot do business anymore. And they're crying when they see God's judgment pouring upon the world. So it's a symbolical language. You have to understand, we are given Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit lives in us. Now, non-Christian, who lives in them? Evil spirits. Even right now, evil spirit lives in them. Just because they do not foam at their mouth and they go crazy, that doesn't mean that evil spirit is not in them. Just like you and I, Christians, we don't look any different, but inside of us, the Holy Spirit lives. So non-Christians are given evil spirit, the marking of non-Christians. And he does that so that those people will follow the ways of the world. Those people are all about the ways of the world, sinful world. Now, Satan has written his name on his people's forehead. If you go to chapter 14 of Revelation, right after you read about 666, this is what we read, chapter 14, verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. Now we have separate people, 144,000 people, symbolical number, includes everybody who is elected by God. And we see the similar thing here. Now, on their forehead, God's name is written. So, when you understand, when Satan gives his people and write his name on their forehead or on their wrist, it's not about credit card number. It's about Satan's name. They belong to Satan. His name is given to them. Just like you belong to God, because the Holy Spirit claims you as God's own. This is important because these people who are sealed in our chapter, their total number is 144,000. And that 144,000 people are described in terms of Old Testament 12 tribes, as you read it together today. So 144,000 in our passage, chapter 7, verse 4, and I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. Now 144,000 is a symbolical number, but God knows the exact number of his people. Chapter 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19b, the Lord knows those who are his. Of course God knows exactly how many people, because he chose those people even before the foundation of the universe. And that number, that exact number, is expressed in a symbolical number in the book of Revelation as 144,000 people. We believe it is 12 times 1,000, 12 Old Testament tribes who represent the Israel, and 12 disciples who represent the new Israel, and multiply by 1,000, meaning many, many, many people. In a Western society, when unit of number is always 1,000. But if you go to Eastern society like Korea, that unit is 10,000. That's why when they're so happy, they go, 만세, mean man, meaning 10,000. But obviously the Bible is written in the terms of Western society, so the unit is 1,000. It just means many, 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 many. Being sealed, God's name is written on their foreheads. God's name is written on their foreheads, meaning what? That God's name is given to us. Revelation chapter 22, verse 4, they will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. What does this show? It shows the ownership. We are his people. His name is given. His name is written on us. He claims us as his own. And also, if you look at just general society, this name giving shows what? That you become a part of the family. You guys got your name from your dad, your father. And you wives, you got your name from your husband. God giving his name. You are his sons now. You are his bride. You are his wife now. And you are his people. He claims you. He is your master. That's what happens. And it's marking. God clearly marks on you. Spiritually, it is so clearly marked that these agents of God who bring the judgment of God will make no mistake. They will know clearly that you are not to receive the judgment of God. Also, in the Old Testament, we see high priests. They wore a plate of pure gold on their forehead. Like plate of gold on their forehead, and they wear that in their forehead. Exodus 28, verse 36b, you shall engrave on it like the engravings of a seal holy to the Lord. So they engrave God's name on that gold plate as they go into the Holy of Holies. Without that plate, they will die. And it clearly shows what will happen when Jesus Christ accomplishes his work. So even Old Testament times, the priests, when they approach God, they gotta have God's name engraved on their forehead. But of course, in the Old Testament, it's always physical. Whereas now, it's spiritual. It means that you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has engraved his name, God's name, on your forehead. Spiritual reality. Jesus says in John chapter 26, verse 26, I have made the Father's name known to them and will make it known. Jesus promised in the letter to the church in Pergamum that he would give us a white stone with a new name written on it. Jesus also promised in the letter to the church in Philadelphia that he would write on us the name of God and his new name. So, one aspect of sealing of his people, God claims he's mine or she's mine and giving his name, engraving his name. But what is really happening is that the Holy Spirit is given to that person. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him, you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 22 says, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. So that makes very clear. Sealing of God is the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, before he died, he said what? When I go, I will send the another comforter. I will send the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what is happening in our passage. After he's resurrected from the dead, he ascended into heaven and he seals his people. He sends the Holy Spirit right before the judgment begins. Do you remember that giving of his name shows that now we are his sons and he is our father? Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. So sealing. The Holy Spirit is given to his people. Thus, what we are looking at in our passage is the same event that we see in Acts chapter 2. At the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus ascended into heaven after resurrection from the dead, and he sits on the throne as the king, and he begins his reign, begins his judgment upon the world. But before that happens, he sends the Holy Spirit, which he promised to his people. That is what we are looking at in our passage. This reality is witnessed through our baptism. Baptism points to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we are baptized by the name of God. Yes, his name is given to us. So you understand then what is happening. So before Jesus accomplishes everything and become king to rule, to judge and to save, before that happened, four angels are holding off this judgment of God to come. But now it will happen. Jesus will judge, but before that, he seals his people. Understand? All right, let's move on then. And tells us that these 144,000 people, and it describes each tribe having 12,000 people. And there are 12 tribes. And you read that from verse 5 through 8. Together, 144,000. A symbolical number is used, and all the people of God is expressed in terms of the Old Testament Israel 12 tribes. But we know that the listing here, verses 5 through 8, is symbolical. Why do we know that? When you read it, it's very strange. Actually, if you understand what you're reading. The listing itself is symbolical because it is not the exact 12 tribes of Old Testament Israel. The tribe of Dan is missing. It's not there. And in its place, both the tribe of Joseph and his son Manasseh are listed. The same tribe is listed twice. And if you read the Old Testament, you will soon find out that 12 tribes lists of the Old Testament always begins with the first son of Jacob, Reuben. If you go back to Old Testament and you read 12 tribes, how they are listed, it always starts with Reuben, the first son, but not here, Joseph. I mean, not Joseph, Judah. The listing begins with the tribe of Judah from which Jesus comes. 12 tribes of the Old Testament always begins with Reuben, and by doing this, by, you know, taking out a tribe of Dan, and also mixing up all these names, by doing this, God is showing us that the listing is symbolical. Now, dispensationalists will say chapter 7 is what? Well, the church is raptured before the 7-year tribulation. So here, the sealing is of those Jews who are being saved during the 7-year tribulation. And that is not how we believe. Why? Because this 144,000 who are being sealed are the entire number of the heavenly church. All the believers, including Jewish Christians in all ages. How can we say that? Well, let's go to chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps, and they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who have been purchased from the earth. So here, 144,000 people, they are gathered unto God's throne and they are singing the new song. Yeah? And this dispensationalist will say those 144,000 is Israel, ethnic Israel, Israelites. But this people who are singing this new song, we met them already in chapter 5. Go to chapter 5, verse 9. You remember at chapter 5, they're also singing in front of four creatures and all that. Chapter 9, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain, and the purchase for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Now, these people who are singing the new song, they are from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Because this new song, they say only 144,000 people is able to sing. Well, according to dispensationalists, their understanding, only Jewish people will be able to sing. No. 144,000 is all of God's people from every tribe, every tongue, every people, and every nation. Not just Jews. Yeah, Jewish people are included, yes. We who are in Christ are the new Israel. You and I, we are new Israel. Chapter 21, verse 1 and 2 talks about the new Jerusalem. Not the earthly one, but a heavenly one. The church is the new Israel. Heavenly Israel. The church is the true Israel. James, writing to the church, begins his letter to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. Now, James is not writing to Israel 12 tribes. He's writing to the whole Christians. And he begins his letter saying to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. It's referring to the church. Galatians chapter 6 verse 16 refers the church as the Israel of God, the new Israel. So here in our passage, the whole church is described in terms of the Old Testament Israel. So God seals his people before the judgment begins. God's protection is given to us. Now what kind of protection are we talking about? We're not talking about physical protection. We're not talking about earthly protection. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to die. You're not going to get hurt. That your business will not go bankrupt. We're not talking about that kind of protection when we're talking about sealing of God's seal. Is it protection from suffering and persecution we face in the world? No. We saw in the six seals how the church too participated in those events. But for us, they are not the judgment of God. The judgment of this world is also the salvation of His church. So we're protected by the judgment of God. Now, 1 Peter. Let's read that and let's wrap this up. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 5. You, Christians, who are protected by the power of God, yes, you are protected through faith, but you are protected for what? For a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You are protected for a salvation, but even that salvation is going to be revealed when? When Jesus returns. So until Jesus returns, the fact that you are saved, that doesn't even show to the world. They cannot tell. So, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And through, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible in the full of glory. So you are protected from God's judgment. So even as God's judgment is being poured out in this world, you will experience all that judgment, but as a trials. And what does those judgments do? Well, it will make you stronger, Christians. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So you're not protected from sufferings. But see, those sufferings are no longer judgment of God. It's actually testing your faith so that you will prove to the whole world that you are indeed genuinely God's sons. And you are growing. Understand what is going on. But for us, it is no longer judgment. We who are sealed by God now participate in the sufferings of Jesus Christ our Lord. Chapter 6, verse 11, do you remember? Until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, will be completed also. It is a spiritual sealing, the spiritual protection. What this means is this, that no matter what happens in this world, even if you are killed by an earthquake, even if you're killed by car, whatever, that your body is now in two pieces or whatever happens in this world, you and I, we will arrive in heaven, we will arrive in glory. That's how you and I are protected. The Holy Spirit is with us. Nothing about what will happen in this world, though. A lot of Christians die. Does that mean they're not protected? No. They are protected. They are now in heaven. But, brothers and sisters, we have already arrived there spiritually. The Holy Spirit has given to us. It has been given to us. He is the guarantee of our heavenly inheritance. He is the guarantee of our eternal life, the life with God forever and ever. He works in us, even now, to make us more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. You carry God's name on your forehead wherever you go. Now live a life that will not bring shame to that name that you carry. But when you do bring shame to that name, like we always do, remember 1 John chapter 2, verse 1b, "And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Yes, you're protected. Because if you are not protected, even one little sin that you commit, it will cause you to be abandoned in hell forever. Just one little sin, you have to go to hell. But you are protected. Even as you sin, you have Jesus Christ who died for you. You have the Holy Spirit who is working in you even today to make you more and more like Christ. Yes, you are protected. What that means is no matter what happens, when you believe, you will be in heaven facing your Lord Jesus Christ face to face, and you will live it with Him forever and ever. That's how you are protected. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your protection. We thank You that in Jesus Christ we are sealed, that Your Spirit is given to us. We are marked. We are protected from Your judgment. Oh Father, let us truly understand through Your word what is our reality. What is really, really going on, so that we may live according to the truth, not this deception of the world. Bless Your people, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.